right, there we go. If you don't know this movie, I don't know if you're American or not. You need to turn in your American card right now if you don't know this movie. This is Rocky. This is one of my favorite movies. I love this movie. It actually comes in five different ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. A good movie. And it's about this guy named Rocky Balboa, played by Sylvester Stallone. And Rocky was just this poor guy who wanted to fight. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of anything. He just wanted to fight. So he's out there fighting, and he eventually wins the heavyweight championship of the world. He's this big heavyweight fighter. And Rocky went from being this poor guy to this rich guy. You know, that guy didn't look like the guy before, you know, punching a piece of meat hanging up, does it? This Rocky is somebody who's made it. Now, we're going to talk about Rocky III. This is the one that I really like. So Rocky III, he just gets the belt. He's on top of the world. And he says, you know what? I want to fight this guy named Clubber Lang. This guy is huge, and he's mean looking. You know he's mean looking because he's played by Mr. T. Mr. T is a mean looking dude, isn't he? So he has to fight Mr. T, but here's the thing about it. Rocky, in that process, he should have been training. He should have been fighting. He should have been out there doing everything he possibly could to get ready for Mr. T. But he looked at it like, well, I just won the championship. I'm going to kind of take it easy. You know, I just did everything I need to do. I'm the champion of the world. What do I need to go in and practice for and do all these things for? Why? So what happens is he goes up to fight this Clubber Lang, and it didn't turn out well at all. Clubber Lang whoops him, beats him. He's laying on the mat, didn't even know where he was probably. I hope you guys remember that in Rocky III. My point here is that Rocky should have been on top of his game once he had won. He should have been there doing everything he possibly could to ensure that he won the fight that was coming up. But he felt like since he had already become the champion that he didn't have to do any of those things. And sometimes I wonder if we as Christians, since we come out of the water, we say, you know what, I'm a child of God. I've done everything that I need to do to obey, and I've been baptized, and I believe. Do we sometimes look at it like we've arrived, that we don't have to do all those things? And if we do those things, then guess what? The flesh is going to get on offense. Just like Clubber Lang got on offense on him and just whooped him, and before you know it, he was face down on the mat, that can happen to us too. I want to talk about that this morning. Tonight, we'll talk about what happened in the second part of that movie when Rocky actually took it serious and he came back and beat Clubber Lang. We'll talk about that tonight. But this morning, it's all about the flesh being on offense. What does that mean? The first thing we have to do is identify the flesh. What does that mean when you keep reading about the flesh in the Bible? The first thing is Genesis 2 and 7, then the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We have souls. We're not just something that walks around. We're not animals. We are people that have souls. God gave us that. You won't see this happening to anything else where he breathed that breath of life in there. We have souls. And the interesting part about this is the war that we're fighting, the person that we're fighting is literally ourselves. We have this soul that's in us, but we also have our bodies. And our bodies, our flesh, indicates our desires and what we want to do. If you could just think about having a fight against somebody that knows your every move, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Having a war against yourself is one of the most vicious forms of warfare there can ever be. You know, you can realize this in James 2 and 26. It says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You can't have a separation of the two. It's not like your flesh is just going to all of a sudden just say, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to lay down and, you know, I don't have to worry about this fight anymore. As long as you're on this earth, the flesh is going to be there and it's going to be a battle. That's something that all of us should realize. It's something that all of us should come to terms with. And so just like Rocky in that fight, we can't take a day off and say that, oh, well, you know, everything's going to be okay. We can't take a day off against our flesh because it's always going to be there. Something that we should realize and take to heart. Most importantly about our flesh, the real important part, is our flesh is ungodly. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to his lusts, Romans 13:4. See, sometimes we think that we're good. And that good may be according to our definition. But according to God's definition, before his spirit, before all of those things, we were just bad people. We weren't doing godly things. We weren't doing the things that he told us to do to obey him. That's something that we should realize when it comes down to our walk, that our flesh was not good. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That means everybody. That means that everybody that comes to the knowledge of the truth, everybody that gets saved, everybody that comes to worship on Sunday morning, or anybody that's out there in the world, everybody was dead in their in their sins until they came to Christ. There's no exceptions. There's no good group of people. There's no group of people that wake up just righteous in the morning just because they were. The only way that happens is through Christ Jesus. Amen? And the good part about that is we have the Bible to show that we can do these things to be righteous. But before that, we have to realize, just like this says in Ephesians 2:1, we were all dead in our trespasses. Romans 7:5 says, while we were in the flesh at that time, while we were obeying the flesh, while we were out there doing the things of the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Just think about that. Your flesh, our flesh, this body, what we want to do is not going to do anything good when it comes down to salvation. This flesh that we have, our what we want to do, that person that we're battling, our desires, that's not going to bear fruit for God and for salvation. It's going to bear fruit for death, as the scripture says. It's important to realize that. And if you think about it from a perspective of you're waking up in the morning, everything's going great. You're going out living your life, and you say, you know, I just want to be myself. I just want to, you know, just myself is okay. What I'm trying to get you to understand is even on the best day, even on the best case scenario, our flesh is not going to be according to God's will. It's going to be contrary to that, even on the best day. Amen? And that's something that if we really understand that will force us on a daily basis to pick up this and say, I can't take a day off because my flesh is always going to be there. Who's scared of clowns? Oh, Larissa, I'm sorry. I forgot Larissa was afraid of clowns. We just went through this holiday, right, this Halloween, and clowns, people walking around. I saw this guy walking in Maple Valley, and he was dressed up as a clown, and he was pretty scary. And we think about these creepy clowns as being scary. Let me tell you something that's scarier. Having an opponent that knows you and that knows your every move. That's a scary scenario. Could you imagine fighting somebody that knows everything that you want to do? You can't. It's hard to win that. I don't even think it's possible without God to win such a situation that your opponent knows everything that you want to do. Could you imagine being in a boxing match? We're talking about Rocky. Could you imagine being in a boxing match and every time you try to take a swing, every time you try to do a jab, they know it's coming. They know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to block and you're going to spin or you're going to do all these things. The flesh knows it because the flesh is you. There is no fooling it. There is no getting ahead on that. The only way we can do that is through Christ Jesus. That's it. So if we're thinking we're going to fight this flesh, the flesh is already there. We can't do anything with that unless we have the power of Christ. Amen? Pretty powerful thing if you think about it in that way. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own desires. If you look over the Bible, and you start looking up this term, own desires, their own desires, you'll see it all over the place. You'll see where people want to do what they want to do because they want to do it. That's a big deal. I preached a lesson here a few weeks ago that talked about that a little bit. When we do things, it's because we want to do them. Can't be blaming other folks. Can't be blaming other situations. Can't be blaming the preacher or the elders or the brethren and so on and so forth. When we do things, it's because we want to do it. We wage against the person that's in us that wants to do these bad things. That's why I keep saying it's according to their own desires. And their own desires, as we went over earlier, are not good desires. It's ungodly. It may seem good, may look good, He may even feel good. Just think about that. He may even feel good to do this. But at the end of the day, it's not according to what God wants us to do. Now, we say all this about the flesh, and we say all this about what the flesh is going to do, and we say all this about how the flesh is out there and it's inside of you and you're fighting against it. I'm not saying that it's going to be a total knockout when it comes down to the flesh. You see that? That's a boxing term, knockout, TKO. Like, never mind. Nobody is going to be perfect. You're not going to wake up in the morning and say, I knocked out this flesh, and it's just going to be put to bed. Again, this is why it goes back to this Bible over and over again. We have to stay in this book so that we can be on offense. We have to stay in this book over and over again. We're not going to have the perfect time when it comes down to this flesh. Flesh is going to have some small victories. Romans 4, it says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. We're going to sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. We're going to sin. We're going to do things that are contrary to God's will. But that sin cannot be the overarching point. You see this tiny ice cream cone? It's a small ice cream cone. I don't even think it's real. I mean, how can you have an ice cream cone that small? Well, sin has to be like that. Sin has to be small and insignificant in our lives. See, if I were to have that ice cream cone, I wouldn't even taste that. I mean, that's so small, I'd just be like, whatever. Now, well, I probably wouldn't even taste the big ice cream cone either, or eat it so fast. But a small ice cream cone, for sure, I wouldn't even taste. But what about this? What if you had an ice cream cone like that? And what if you had that ice cream cone 3 times a day? Before you know it, you're going to feel it and you're going to see the effects of eating all that ice cream. That little small one, insignificant. But that one, you're going to feel that. After a while, you're going to be like, man, I'm eating too much ice cream. And that's exactly the way that sin is. We can't have it just where it's there all the time, because eventually we're going to see the effects of it. Because as we saw earlier, it's going to bring forth death. But a small ice cream cone, you made a mistake. It's not that big of a deal as far as in the grand scheme of things. Sin is always a big deal because it goes against God's will. But what I mean by that is that small sin that you did, you made a mistake, is not going to show up as far as in your waistline like this ice cream would. Amen? Something that we should really, really understand, something that we should really adopt and take on in our lives. The message here is don't eat too much ice cream. What does it look like when the flesh is on offense? What does that look like? I'm going to spend a little more time on this than I usually would this morning, because this is really important. We have to understand. We have to really, like get it when it comes down to the flesh being on offense. How do we know this? You know, the only way, going through Navy training and going through basketball training and all these things, the way that we were really supposed to defend something, the way that we were supposed to know it, is to be put in that situation and understand it so that we wouldn't do it. And that's the way it has to be with the flesh on offense. We have to understand, what does it look like so that we won't be in that situation in the future? First thing is, we wake up in the morning. We get out of bed. Every morning we wake up. Every morning we go through our routines. Every morning we say we got to get our coffee for some folks. We got to go work out for some folks. We got to do all this. Every morning we do it. What is the first thing we think about when we get out of bed? Is it, I need to pray to God? Or is it, I need to go do the things that I want to do? Is it my job? Or is it money? Is it all these other things? You think when you wake up out of your sleep in the morning, the first thing is pray to God. And you want to know what happens when I do this? I find myself doing this on a routine basis. I find myself being in situations that are a little bit more favorable for the spiritual warfare that I'm in. So what do you think about when you first wake up? I'm not going to talk about what you should be thinking about. I'm just asking the question, what do you think about when you first wake up out of bed in the morning? Ephesians 2 and 3 says, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. It's a legitimate question. What do we think about? If we think about worldly things, the flesh is on offense. If we're thinking about things that don't pertain to Christ, the flesh is on offense. If we're thinking about things that's not going to do us any spiritual good, the flesh is on offense. What about this? What about plotting to make the flesh seem sane? I'll give you an example. When I first came out of the water, they told us, they says, you can't go out there, Buck. You know, this was probably 6 months after baptism. They said, you cannot go out there and just go party with your friends and be in bars and all this other stuff, just having a good time, acting like everything is cool. They said, you can't do that. That's not Christian-like. I could go to passages in the Bible that say you are not supposed to do that. It's like, all right, cool. So here it is, a Thursday afternoon. It's like Thursday night football is coming on. And I usually go hang out with the boys, with the guys, with the men. That's what I was accustomed to doing all the time. So you want to know what I did? I sat at home and I said, you know what? Well, maybe I could be an example to them while I'm partying with them with Christ. See, I was plotting to make it be sane what I was doing when I knew that it was wrong. Maybe I could, you know, say something to them while I'm there. Well, it's not that bad. It's not like I'm going to get all the way just drunk. I'm not going to get all the way there. I'm going to just get partially there. I was plotting to make it seem right, to make it be okay. And what I'm saying to that is, if you start doing that, if we start saying in our mind, you know what, this is okay because of this. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says you shall do this and we shall not do that. But if we start to plot and say, well, you know what, it's really not that bad. The flesh is on offense. And we already read earlier, we already saw it. The flesh is going to bring forth death. Amen? It's something to remember. So if you start plotting, if you start doing all those things, remember, the flesh is on offense. Luke 14, 16 through 24, you'll see there's a supper parable in there. You can read that on your own, but I'll give you the gist of it right now. This guy was having this great supper, right? And he starts inviting all these people to the supper. Says, hey, tell my servant, you go out and you get these people to come to the supper. But guess what these people start doing? These people start having excuses. They're like, well, I got to go do this. I got to go tend to the animals. I got to go do all these other things. I got all these things I got to do. I can't come to the supper. They were giving all these wonderful, great excuses on why they couldn't come. If you start making excuses for the things that we know that we should be doing, flesh is on offense. Because the flesh doesn't want to go do these things. The flesh doesn't want to go fellowship. The flesh doesn't want to go sit with the people that are needy in the congregation. The flesh doesn't want to go take meals to folks that need the meals taken to. The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to do all these things. The flesh doesn't want to do that. We already talked about that earlier. So if we start looking at this situation and we're like, well, you know, oh, I don't really want to do that, then we know the flesh is on offense. We need to do something about it. We'll talk about that tonight, but for right now, I'm just going to let you know the flesh is on offense if that scenario is happening. People say it all the time. I'm not experienced enough to do that. I'm just not experienced enough. I mean, I've only been a Christian for, you know, this amount of time. I'm not experienced enough to do that. Why would I just can't go do that. If you start saying that, the flesh is on offense. Because everybody here loves everybody with the love of Christ. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. So if that is really true, then we should be willing to do pretty much anything for the saints, anything for the sake of God, because we all love each other and there's no fear when it comes down to this love, right? So if that's the case, then we should not be saying, oh, well, experiencing this and experiencing that. Well, I'm not able to do this. No. If that's the case, if we're justifying us not doing something because we're not experienced enough to do it, I've only been a Christian for this amount of time, I can't teach this because I've only been a Christian for this amount of time, there's no way I can get up there on the table because I've only been a Christian for this amount of time, there's no way I can do this, then the flesh is on offense. There's no doubt about it. Or, here's another scenario. God doesn't expect for me to be perfect. He doesn't expect for me to be perfect. I am not going to be perfect. And so if I'm not going to be perfect, I'm just going to go out there and do what I need to do because I'm not going to be perfect. If we start saying that, flesh is on offense. Because we know that God doesn't expect for us to be perfect, but we also know that he expects for us to follow his will to the best of our ability. Being perfect and following his will to the best of our ability are two different things. Amen? He never said I need to be perfect. Like I said in 1 John 1:8, he told us if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. It's not about being perfect. It's about having reverence for him, and it's about doing the things that he told us to do. Those are two different things. One of them we can do. One of them we can't. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assemblies together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What about turning from the saints? We have assemblies. We have, you know, Jason Cicero coming here next week, right? It's going to be a Friday night, Saturday night deal, and Sunday. All these things that are going on, right? We have gatherings that we're supposed to be going to. We have our Bible classes we're supposed to be going to. What if we say, you know what? I'm not doing that. There's just too much going on. Flesh is on offense. See, I knew I was going to spend a lot of time on this because this is something that maybe I need to hear. All of us need to hear at a certain point. If we start doing those things, absolutely, the flesh is on offense. What about coming to worship and we're 5 minutes into worship service? We ain't even had the Lord's Supper yet. And we're like, what time is it? You know, which is, what time is it? Golly, he's going to do all five verses of the song? Is Bob crazy? All five verses? There's no way we're going to sit here for all five. If he does all five on this song, and then he does all five on the next song, we're going to be here at 2 o'clock. I say that joking, but I'm serious. We walk in the door more concerned about the time than concerned about the content, more concerned about what time we're going to get home to look at the football game rather than what soul-saving information and soul-transforming information I can get. The flesh is on offense. I'm going to go back to it again. And what happens when the flesh is on offense and the flesh wins the war? It brings forth death, not a physical death, but a spiritual death, the second death. We can't do that. Here's another example. The elders. These elders want too much. Good night. Every time I turn around, they're asking for something. You mean to tell me they want me to, they want to know when I'm not going to come to worship? Is this a job or is this worship? These elders, golly, every time I turn around, they want something. How am I supposed to go there? I'm going to go somewhere where these elders don't want so much. If we get in that shape, where we don't say, you know what, elders, I appreciate you for what you're doing because you're watching out for my soul, the flesh is on offense. Don't let the flesh be on offense. What about our thoughts all day long? We talked about when we first wake up, but what about our thoughts all day long? All day long we're going through work and we're going through going to the gym and we're going through all these things. What about our thoughts? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, that's what God is going to judge. He's going to judge the secrets of men, as he says. Our thoughts are really important. Our thoughts are everything. If we're out there just thinking about ungodly things, if we're not thinking about the things that we should be thinking about, then we're in bad shape. One more thing before I close this section here. What about the people that go to everything? What about the people that do everything? What about the people that show up to everything? See, when I first came out of the water and I saw that, you want to know what I said? I said, those folks are crazy. It's not that serious. Why are they going to everything? Everything? Do they know it's Friday night? Do they know it's Thursday night? Do they know it's Tuesday night? They're going to everything. And you look at them like, man, they're crazy. If we ever think that about our brothers and sisters, the flesh is on offense. They're doing the best they can. We should be doing the best we can. Rocky lost that fight. This is him running on the beach. I don't know if you remember that scene, but Apollo Creed is out there with them running, and they're on the beach, and Apollo Creed gets frustrated and says, "Rocky, what are you doing? Are you even trying to train here? Are you even trying to beat this guy? He's going to knock your head off. The flesh is going to knock our head off if we don't get on offense. We got to be out there training. We got to be out there studying. We got to be out there doing all these things that the Bible tells us to do, because if not, we're going to lose the war. We don't want to do that." Revelation 21, 5 and 8. It says, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son." Just think about that. And at the last part, we're talking about that second death. "And be put in their part will be in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. If that flesh starts to get on offense and that flesh starts to throw haymakers, then before we know it, we're going to be in a bad situation. Don't hold hands with the flesh. Don't satisfy the flesh. Don't be in a situation where you feel like I got to give in to the flesh. Remember, this gospel is more powerful than the flesh. It's the only thing that can win this war. Amen? It is the only thing that can win this war is this gospel. The power of God is the only thing that can do it. Got to believe it. Got to do it. Don't trust it. If you ever feel like, well, you know, this flesh is not that bad, you start making excuses, don't trust it. Remember, the flesh is going to die anyway. 60, 70, 80 years, the flesh is going to die. But the spirit has the opportunity to live forever. Why would you trust something that's going to die anyway? Don't trust it. That's ludicrous. Don't trust something that is bound for death regardless. This body is going to go away. Don't even for a second trust it. Trust the Spirit of God. We'll talk about that tonight. Clubber Lane, look at him. He won that fight. Look at Mr. T. He's so mean, mean man. He won that fight with Rocky. But Rocky did something that was remarkable. He came back. He went to training hard. He did everything that he could do so that he can come back and win that fight. We'll talk about the spirit being on offense tonight. We'll talk about what that looks like, what that feels like. We've talked about a lot. We talked about some good things this morning. Talked about some bad things this morning. But nonetheless, we should know what it feels like if the flesh is on offense. If you're a Christian and you're here this morning and the flesh is on offense, then you can ask for prayers of the church and the church will pray for you. The prayers of the saints are powerful. My goodness, the prayers of the saints are powerful. If you're not a Christian, you're out there in the world, and you're obeying the flesh, and you want to not be in that situation, you're tired of getting hit over the head, all you have to do is obey this and get something that's more powerful than the flesh so that you can be victorious in the war. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.